Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, limited to 500 golden vinyl copies. And with me, I have...
Who the fuck gave Lil Pump a record contract?
And...
Oh man, you guys, I had the weirdest and horrible nightmare. I dreamt that apparently Lil Yachty and Halsey are in that... crappy Teen Titans Go to the Movies thick ass.
Greenland
and want to. Wait, that's not a dream. Wait, that's not a dream. That's for. That's for real. Oh God, why?
Because God hates us.
It's bad. It's being made. But it's bad. Now, they got one of the worst rappers and one of the most boring, mediocre, bland pop singers in there too.
Man, who knew DC hated Mark so much?
They hate everybody. That's why they've only made one good movie in the last 5 years.
Only one. It's like, what are they even doing over there, man? But episode 72. How have things been going with y'all recently?
They could have gone better this week. We had to... put our little newborn kitten down because he was apparently born with a birth defect that came up.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that kind of sucked. But, you know, just gotta keep doing what you do, keep your mind off of things, try to clear your head. Which I haven't been able to do much because it's been freaking cold and rainy over here.
Oh, you too?
Yeah.
Y'all too?
Yep.
Yeah, there was this weird point, like, I think it was, like, a couple days where it was, like, weirdly cold and, like, the rain I could deal with, but rain and cold, that's, like, annoying.
Yeah, and I think the Northeast is getting their 27th snowstorm of the season? Maybe 28th, I don't know, I can't keep track. And people say global warming is a hoax. Bitch, it snowed in Ireland! And people lose a little. Or little, however you pronounce it. I don't know.
It sounds like it could create another potato famine.
If only that were the case. But nope, it was just people freaking out because they've never experienced snow before, probably.
Ah. Mark, what about you?
Let's see. Aside from today, like I said, it's been rainy and cold here. Been the usual. Oh yeah. And like most anime weebs do, I went to Netflix and saw that that other new anime that got Aku Incarnation. And yes, they actually have a dub recorded in Miami.
So I keep hearing.
And I'm wondering, when's I gonna show up?
Well, actually, I show up singing the ending credits theme. They didn't trust me with anything important.
So when am I going to hear that reggaeton remix?
Soon. We just have to wait another 10 years for Daddy Yankee to become relevant again. Anything else, sir?
Nah, that's it.
As for me, well, much like Alex, I'm dealing with concerns over animals. Not anything having to deal with being put down, but my dog is, she's going in for surgery on Wednesday. She's getting part of her ear amputated because there's a tumor there.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
It's nothing... I'm not sure it's super fatal, but, you know, we're concerned about her, obviously. And I'm sure she'll be fine. Apparently the vet says she's got another couple good years left in her, so... At least she'll be able to live without that annoying thing bugging her ears. I like my dog. She's a very good dog. Outside of that, well, I mean, I have, like, it's technically spring break at my university, so, like, I got classes off this week, but I still have to go into work. Because where I work technically does not have spring break. Ah, what a fun life.
Work never has spring break. It's like, especially, like, the one day you get is either on holidays or random shit. I don't know. It's just...
Right. Other than that, I finally got out to the movies. saw Annihilation, which was really damn tense as fuck and really good. I have no idea why they were sending this, like, straight to Netflix pretty much, like, a month later. It's like, come on, this movie's good. What the hell's wrong with you people?
Because Paramount is dumb. They're very, very dumb right now.
They've been fucking up the past year. Like, they've been getting either bombs or just how they think of if they shut the work, I just send to Netflix.
Mm. Yeah, jeez. Also, finally picked up a new game for my Swatch. My stepdad gave me like a Best Buy store credit he wasn't using, so I picked up Puyo Puyo Tetris for like $5.
Hey, I got that game myself too, and I have to ask, why is this fucking game so brutal? Holy shit! Okay. Calm down, everybody.
What's it? Okay, what's in this Tetris? Okay.
This game is for masochists.
Or, you know, people that are just good at puzzle games. Casual. What, you got nothing to say?
I will say it when the time is right. I'm going to let it stew for a while.
Oh, boy, this is going to have payoff at the end. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and one more thing. This isn't... We're not going to bring this up proper in the news topic, so I just want to say it here. Apparently, Death Grips is in the studio working with the director of the first two Shrek movies.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that. That sounds interesting.
I'm at least interested.
Dank meme levels are reaching critical mass. No part of the universe can handle that much meme potential.
And right on cue, here's Fantano saying, say what about 100 times.
Ah, oh, man, whatever this new album is, it's going to be good, boy. But anyway, that's just about all the formalities. So now let's move on to, as always, the new song discussions. Of course, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us if any of these songs pique your interest. So, yeah, let's get started. Right here at the top, we have a new song from Psycho Stick. Still don't know what the name of their new album is. All we know is... apparently it's coming sometime in the spring, so we got another couple months to wait and shit. But they've given us a new song titled From the Heart, parentheses, I Hate You. Oh, yeah. Hey, it's that song that Alex wrote about me.
Yes. This is everything I've always wanted to say to you, especially after that little puzzle game quip.
And I guess this is the part where you quote directly from the lyrics then, is it?
Well, if I knew the lyrics, sure. But instead of that, I'll just go by the usual standby of... shut the fuck up! You're a fucking cunt! I think that says it all, doesn't it?
Are you sure? The song has some good burns in it. Like, okay, so it starts off all soft and pretty with this... you know, acoustic arpeggio that kind of goes at a really weird time signature. I still can't fucking figure out the counting pattern on this thing. You know, as the singer Rob, you know, romantically declares how much he hates you specifically, including such burns as, I hope every time you're barefoot, you step on a Lego, and I hope you develop an allergy to sex.
Damn!
So romantic.
Damn.
Yes, let's not forget... also, train of thought, never mind. Continue.
Yeah, and of course, there's the part where the full band kicks in, and there's even, you know, symphonic, cheap-sounding strings just to emphasize how much they romantically hate you. And even when there's drums on this, I still can't figure out the rhythm on this thing. Jeez, this is the most complex rhythmically song they've done since Grocery Escape Plan, at least.
Groceries. Finally, an acoustic rock ballad that doesn't make me cringe myself to death was a message that I can get behind. Especially, I wish you'd die, see your family cry, collect their tears in a vial, mix them in a cocktail, just like Eric Cartman did in that one episode of South Park.
Oh, you mean the one where he made the chili?
That one, yes.
Oh, shit, that's right. Damn. I never
was so romantic.
Until 5 and then that's 5 seconds.
But anyway, let's move on to something that actually is romantic, if you look at it a certain way. Mm-hmm. Care to take over for us, Mark?
Yes. So, Now, earlier on my episode where I said, of course, my anticipated albums, I said one Mr. Anderson .Paak. And it turns out, and yes, he's making not only one, but two albums this year. Well, one solo, one with his band, and that's the Free Nationals. And he got a single out, which has been featured heavily on, you know, for Apple. Anyway, the single's called...
Oh, yeah, the HomePod.
Yeah, for the HomePod.
Don't buy one. Buy pretty much any other speaker instead.
That bad, eh?
Okay, yeah. Okay,
I'm the Apple guy here, and yeah, it's that bad. It's very, 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 why does this exist-y?
Okay then. Aside for that, anyway, the song's called "Till It's Over," and like Ralph said, yes, this is very romantic in a way. We got the way it's like you know, they go, you know, Anderson talking about, you know, he's going through all the towns all night, you know, chat around around Los Angeles, like, you know, living the nightlife, and it's actually and like something like he's about to until it's over, like, you know, I'm gonna keep going till it's over, and it was like, yeah, this is a very romantic song. And I will say, the production here is quite different from his usual stick, because the beat sounds more footwork than his other shit.
Yeah, I did pick up a little bit of that in there. Yeah,
you pretty much that. Like, it's very different style I'm hearing Anderson doing. And like I say, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I'm okay with it too. I just kind of wish there was more context to it beyond just the commercial.
Yeah, but
I'm sure we'll get that album announced.
Oh yeah, the commercial directed by Spike Jonze, and apparently, choreography from another artist named FKA Twigs. I heard of her, but not much. But I'm just.
Oh, dude, really? I figured you would have been into her. Like, her stuff's pretty damn good.
I mean, I heard, but I haven't got time listening to her yet. I mean, I heard good things. I probably will do it soon, hopefully.
Well, you better.
So anyway. Yeah, the song is. I guess the song is good. Looking forward to more. Whatever Pepper releases in the future, hopefully, an album title,
and release date. Anyway, moving on to a band I haven't thought about in a while. The Wonder Years, you know, current day pop punk, you know, super popular. Hell, I think they're pretty damn good shit. I consider Suburbia, I've Given You All, and Now I'm Nothing to be the best pop punk album of the decade, as far as I'm concerned. And I still stand by that. But, yeah, they have a new album coming out. It's coming out April 6th. It's called Sister Cities, and apparently they've already released a single from this, you know, before the one we're talking about, but I guess I must have missed it. So instead we'll have to settle for the second single here, which describes pretty much everyone's reaction to the Nintendo Direct that past Thursday, Pyramids of Salt.
Even when you get what you want, you never get what you want, you salty motherfuckers.
Ooh, boy.
I've also more salt at work than this.
Yeah. So, it's been a while since I've listened to this band. Like, I think the last time I heard from them was The Greatest Generation. Oh, no, wait, I think I heard the album that came in between that, No Closer to Home, but that one was just kind of okay. But, as for this song, it's similarly just kind of okay. The thing that kind of is getting to me here is the fact that it shifts away from, like pop punk energy of Suburbia and Greatest Generation, and now it seems to go for more of like this emo, like radio rock sort of thing. And okay, while the lyrics are like solid enough in that usual, like, you know, Wonder Years melodrama, and Soupy, you know, does really well, and especially delivering that chorus like rather excellently, you know, draw the line in the sand with my own fucking hands, that whole thing, there's just something that feels weirdly low-key about this that I think undermines, like, the big emotions that I think they were trying to get across. I'm hoping this is just an outlier and the rest of the album is, you know, just huge, like, energy from start to finish, but, yeah, I can't say I'm super looking forward to this one.
I'll say this is pretty solid, But fuck me, this is depressing as all hell. Sounds like it's ripped from the dying days of emo punk. It's a good thing, though, but you have to dilute it a bit. You know, you have to sort of ease into it, not just freebase it.
Wait till you hear some of their older stuff.
Hey.
But yeah, you know, again, really strong lyrically and vocally. It's just the music, I think, leaves a little to be desired. But we'll see what happens, you know, when April 6th rolls around. Now, for the next song on this list, is from a group we've mentioned on here, you know, industrial metal act Three Teeth, and a group that I don't believe we've ever addressed here, except for maybe, like, you know, discussions between us in private. Some group I've heard about but never listened to called Ho9909? Am I saying that right? I feel like I'm saying that right.
Heck if I know. Although, if you actually type in Ho9909 like that, you're going to get some very shady links. So, you know, don't do that.
Yeah. But, you know, just playing around. Yeah, it's a horror that, you know, Death Grips Light group for people that don't have super sophisticated taste but still want some Death Grips. Apparently the two are going on tour soon, or maybe they already are by this point, and they've apparently have like a split release announced, and this is from that split, or I think it was a collab effort, either way. It's a song called Time's Up, which, as far as the lyrics, no, I don't think it's explicitly about the Time's Up movement. It's really more just about, like, the general state of, like, you know, old traditional structures, you know, as they're hopefully finally coming down in the face of modernity. Or as the vocalist from Three Teeth proudly puts it in the choruses, this is not your time. And thank fucking God for that. The song as a whole, you know, it's very industrial, it's heavy, it's got like a sort of punk-ish energy to it, but you could definitely feel like which half is, like the verses are more horror-oriented with, you know, like, a driving beat and some low-end guitar chugs that sound like Godflesh by way of Marilyn Manson, and then the choruses are a little bit more, droning and sparse in, like, the Three Teeth sense, you know, if you're needing to indulge that, you know, industrial, you know, hankering I know y'all got, this should fit the bill pretty nicely.
Yeah, it's solid enough. Though, that droning of that low note being strummed over and over and over and over again, it gets kind of overly repetitive.
Yeah, true. Although this is kind of like the grain of salt you have to take with music like this. Like, it drones repetitively, because I guess it's trying to, like, lure you into a delirious headspace or something.
Yeah, which is why I don't really listen to a whole lot of industrial metal or industrial music. It's just too much droning, not enough variety. That's just my own personal musical taste.
Indeed. Anyway, we got an Adult Swim single we got to cover this week. But before that, we are shifting gears towards covering a veteran of the program from the 2016 iteration. That is Miss Elijia Crampton. It appears the electronic producer is dropping a new album April 27th, you know, named after herself. Mm-hmm. And so we have the leadoff song from the album with the, let me see if I can get this title right here, Soli Lunita? I assume that's what it is? I don't know if it's like a Spanish thing or
I don't know
Latin in general. All we know is that it has, you know, yeah, for those who remember her Adult Swim single Flora's Theme, which wasn't really a song so much as it was an abstract collection of sounds, like a soundtrack piece of some sort.
Yeah, this sounds one, like a Blade Runner. Yeah, it sounds like from Blade Runner.
This one technically counts as more of a song, although with all the just stuff that's thrown in here, the twinkling diamond sounds in every corner of the mix, a lot of the crackling percussive elements, the kind of like warping soundscapes as it sounds like air is sucking in and being blown out of the mix and everything. This almost sounds more akin to like an Igloo Ghost B-side.
Yeah, I kind of get that going in. This it does have some of it. It does, like, it is. We do got that sound. They got that sort of like industrial, well, not industrial, but more
wonky.
Yeah, wonky. Yeah, you're wonky. Something like, yes, yeah, very much akin to Venetian snares, but less of the Gucci sound, but more of, you know, the twinkly type of shit sound.
Yep. This is certainly a very busy song, and if every other song on the album is as busy and dense as this, well, geez, no wonder it only listed as 6 tracks.
So, would it be an EP or something? Would it be an EP or... I don't know. I don't understand how EPs and things work.
Elijah can call it whatever she wants, I assume.
Yeah, I guess.
And now let's actually move on to the Adult Swim single proper. This one coming from electronic producer Jacques Green. With the song title Nordschleife.
Hell if I know.
I'm pronouncing that horribly, probably.
I just say fuck. I'm just like, yeah, fuck it. Okay, I'm letting you pronounce it because I can't do shit with how to say it.
Indeed. But yeah, this one is noticeably less dense. It's more a straightforward, like, ambient electronic thing with, you know, obviously there's some skittering drums in there, but, like, again, this is another one of those vibe songs, especially with a lot of those airy, like, sampled vocals, those electronic pings that kind of, like, you know, fade in and out at random intervals. And the beat's pretty consistent. There's only really, like, a small, like, break there in the middle where, like, the drums cut out, but then it pretty much gets right back to business as usual. It's alright, I guess.
Yeah, I pretty much dig this track from start to beginning. From start to end, I'm actually starting to really vibe this track a lot more than before, especially with the drums and the clinging sounds. I'm pretty sure this could be top 10 potential. It could be. I'm just saying it. It's some. That's like something I would listen to for me, like, over and over again.
Yeah. So, you know, another decent AS single. Let's see where things go next week. And, anyway, now, yeah, we're already at the last song of the week.
Yep.
Following up on the big story last week, where Mr. Vince Staples launched a GoFundMe, labeled hashtag GTFOMD.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing. I did some looking into this, the whole GoFundMe thing. We all know he's trying to get $2 million for early retirement, right?
Yes.
So far, he's raised $2,017.
Hey, wow. I see what they did there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, although somebody actually donated a very dank amount of $420 to Mr. Staples.
Don't forget the fact that I believe there was $40 contributed from a user calling themselves Michelle Obama. We see you, First Lady.
Hey, for real?
It's probably not the real Michelle Obama.
We'll see.
But anyway, as it turns out, this whole GoFundMe thing was actually a promotional stint for a new song from Vince Staples, which is appropriately titled Get the Fuck Off My Dick. And the song is about pretty much exactly what you think it's about. How, you know, being big and famous at this point in his career, especially, you know, with the boost from Black Panther, is pretty much making everyone everywhere ride his dick, regardless of whether or not he even wants them to. You know, you hear it in, like, a lot of the lyrics, like, press is trying to block my blessings, no more talking to Vince, NPR and XXL, man, I can't tell which is which. Or, like, you don't know my pain, bitch, don't act like you don't know my name, don't record me, man, bitch, you see me trying to board this plane. It's like, geez, leave the guy alone, he just wants to eat some salmon and fried chicken at that one place that he gave 5 stars on Yelp once. And yeah, as for the production on this thing, this one feels more summertime 06 era. Like, it's just kind of like the trap drums mixed with, like, the sad-sounding piano beat and, you know, a flow that kind of mimics the nihilistic melancholy of it all. It's usual good stuff from Vince.
Oh, yes, this is some good shit from Vince. And fucking fine, too. Like, I was wondering, like, Oh, so that's what he's doing with that shit. Because, like, I love what he's talking about. Don't call me man, bitch. You trying to see me board this plane? Don't you touch my frame? Still the one who busts you in your brain. I don't fuck with fame. You don't see me in no fucking chains. Ain't no fucking say Dead Jam ain't gonna put me on no pay.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Please keep making more music, Vince.
Don't worry, I'm sure he will.
We need niggas like him.
And I will gladly give him money for a puppy. Because, I mean, that's what he said on the GoFundMe. He wanted a puppy. But, yeah, so that basically covers all the new song discussion for this week. Kind of a short one, but I think we're going to make up for it with the topics. So, you know, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, the news. Back. So we only have three news topics here, but I'm sure we're going to spend a fair amount of time on, well, one of these at least. But let's start off right at the top, you know, veering back into the film industry for a minute. Now, there have been many composers who have been, you know, built these storied legacies from their compositions that are probably just as iconic, sometimes even more so, than the films they've been featured in. And the inarguable great granddaddy of all this has been John Williams, a man who scored damn near everything you've ever loved, and that your parents ever loved too. Perhaps most notably, his contributions to the mainline Star Wars films over the vast four friggin' decades. Mm-hmm. But all things must come to an end, as John Williams announced, he is evidently retiring from scoring Star Wars films, you know, following the 2019 entry of Star Wars Episode 9. In an interview with California's KUSC radio station, he said, quote, "We know Abrams is preparing one Star Wars movie now that I will hopefully do next year for him. I look forward to it. It'll round out a series of 9. That will be quite enough for me." And on top of this, Williams has announced that he's bequeathing all of his concert works, sketchbooks, and actual scores, not just the Star Wars stuff, but everything, to his alma mater, Juilliard.
Ooh, very nice.
Okay.
So, you think he might just be retiring from Star Wars, but the fact that he's giving away all his, you know, scoring materials, maybe he's eyeing a more general retirement in the near future, possibly?
It's possible.
It's possible. Man's been doing this for 4 decades at this point, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That retired
too. Goes all the way back to 1967, at least.
So, like, 50 years in the business, 40 specifically attached to Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music that's, like, shaped generations, not just in the general, like, film score sphere, but also the popular music sphere as well. Remember that Star Wars disco thing?
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing that happened.
The 70s were a wild time.
Oh, that cocaine.
All the cocaine. All of it. But, yeah, yes. You know, if this does lead to a general retirement, then I say very well deserved. Hopefully, yes. You know, you enjoy your later years and, you know, hopefully they give him, you know, all the awards for literally everything ever.
Yes. Give him another Oscar. He's won only, like, what, 4 or 5 of them after, what, 700 nominations or whatever the number is? I'm exaggerating for effect.
You know, you say exaggerating, but it could literally be 700. You never know.
He's done a lot of movies.
Yes, quite. And speaking of movies, something that I hope someday gets turned into a movie, we're once again revisiting our favorite dumpster fire of the many, many dumpster fires of 2017. That is Firefest.
It's back!
AKA The Gang Throws a Music Festival. Sponsored by Wolf Cola. But, yeah, so, of course, last week, Billy McFarland, the founder of the festival, well, one of the founders alongside, what was it, Ja Rule?
Yep.
Yeah, Ja Rule. He pled guilty to 2 counts of federal wire fraud. He's got a sentencing set up for June 21st, and he's facing 40 years in prison. Not to mention, on top of that, he apparently has to find a way to come up with $26 million to pay back to all the investors that were defrauded by investing in this glorious, glorious trash bag.
Sucks to be that guy.
Yep, it's just like the Martin Shkreli thing. And for the love of God, I hope Billy McFarland cries in court. That I feast on the tears. Yes. Although it's not all sunshine and rainbows, remember, the only reason these two men are facing jail time is not because they fucked over a bunch of random people, but because they fucked over rich people.
Yep.
Gotta love our society. Isn't that right?
In other words, if you're poor, then fuck you.
And once again I say, and people wonder why I'm sympathetic to communists. But yeah, like, here's hoping he gets thrown in jail and comes up with some gloriously hilarious courtroom quotes.
He gets the same jurors from the Shkreli trial that will rep the Wu-Tang Clan. You don't disrespect the Wu-Tang Clan.
I hope someone uses that whole "let's just do it and be legends, man" quote from the fucking festival planning in the trial. That's gonna be so amazing. Oh my god. But yeah, so that covers the second story. And now for the meat of the news topics. Literally coming out like in the days after we recorded last week's episode.
Only one day after we recorded last week's episode. One day!
Yeah, isn't the timing on this a bitch? But at least now we got some breathing room to discuss this instead of having to, like, you know, jackhammer it into the recording, just ad-hocking that shit. Record store day, 2018. April 21st, 2018.
There you go.
The list is finally here. And according to the actual website, it lists 420 entries. The dankest amount for this year.
Very nice.
So there's a lot of stuff to go through. A lot of stuff, clearly, so I'm just going to go through, I have my list here, I'm going through it chunk by chunk. You know, I'm going to start with Record Store Day Limited Run / Regional Focus, with the ones that I'm kind of interested in, that caught my attention. There's a 50-50 shot I may get some of these, but, you know, we'll just, you know, hit it as we go to it. So, I've only got, like, 3 here of the Limited Run stuff that I might want to pick up. Starting at the top, there's a new release from Survive, RR7400. Apparently a live album that has 9 songs that pay homage to the Peel Sessions, which apparently references an old BBC Radio 1 host, John Peel. This comes on 12-inch vinyl and is limited to 1,000 copies. Then, next up from that caught my attention, the second thing, Annihilation. No, not the movie, but the October 2017 Netflix special from Patton Oswalt, coming out on a 2-disc LP, limited to 1,000 copies. And then, last of these, the new Morbid Angel album, Kingdoms Disdained. It's a picture disc of their most recent album, which is limited to 500 copies, presumably all 12 inches, like a Subway sub.
Yeah, you don't want to get shortchanged on that.
Obviously not.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit of interesting stuff here, like you said, that Morbid Angel album, which looks pretty cool. There's also going to be a 7-inch Motorhead picture disc single of their track Heroes. That looks pretty nice, with the B-side being the fucking him version of Heroes. There's also something pretty interesting from the Funk Collective Snarky Puppy, a 10-inch vinyl called Shark Tank, which according to this, says the track played at live shows and requested for release by fans, which is just the track on one side and the laser etching on the other side. So, yeah, that seems like a pretty cool little novelty release. There is the debut album of Mr. David Bowie coming out, which I've seen pictures of this. It looks really cool. It's going to be a red and blue color vinyl. Yes. I would like this very much, please.
Wait, which one is this? I'm trying to see in a list
his,
here.
His self-titled in the limited run regional focus section.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's I there. See it.
It's there. It's there. And just breezing on through here, I think that's all I can find from this section of the list. Yeah, that's pretty much all I can find from this section of the list.
All right, so I guess let's move on to the RSD exclusive stuff. But first, I want to bring up something that I think I skipped over my list, and I don't know how. Like, I'm literally just like noticing it and clicking on it right now. On the Record Store Day exclusive list, limited to 2,500 copies, we are getting. Wait, is it a vinyl or a cassette tape? I'm trying to see here. I mean, the packaging looks like it's a cassette tape, but yeah, it's a, you know, it's a release of Wu-Tang Clan's Enter the Wu-Tang 36 Chambers.
Just in time for it. Is that for the 25th anniversary?
Yeah, and I'm just saying because the image it shows on the site looks rectangular, so I assume that could be a cassette release. So I guess I'll just have to keep an eye out on that. Maybe I'll have to amend my list here now that I think about it. But anyway, let's...
I'm seeing this right now. It does say cassette.
Ah, cassette. Yeah, that... Yes. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway... Man, where'd my list go? Damn it. Oh, there it is. Okay, so anyway, moving on to the other stuff. AC/DC, Back in Black... you know, it's a cassette release listed with 2,500 copies. This next one is pretty interesting. It's a two-song, single-sided 12-inch from Brian Eno and Kevin Shields. Features two tracks, one being called The Weight of History, the other being their Adult Swim single, Only Once Away My Son. And this one will be very plentiful. It'll be like 5,000 copies. So, you know, basically everyone that wants this is going to be able to get their hands on it. Sorry, I'm trying to get myself reoriented here with the whole big list thing. Oh, and speaking of Wu-Tang, it also looks like there's the Saga Instrumental EP. That one coming out on 12-inch vinyl.
Oh, yeah. I read Instrumentals from... I know there's Instrumentals from, you know, their, you know, the recent album, The Saga Continues.
Yeah, that one. We discussed it, I believe, sometime last year. Anyway, yep. I'm skipping over one here that I have on my list because I know Alex is going to bring it up. See, he already knows. He already knows which one. So instead, moving on to one that I'm going to... I'm just bringing it up here so I'm going to say I'm avoiding it like the plague. Disturbed, The Lost Children... It's a two LP vinyl release of their 2011 B-Sides collection, The Lost Children.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend getting that for any reason.
Yeah, no one needs Disturbed. And now, there's a pretty interesting Jimi Hendrix release I'm interested in getting, Mannish Boy and Trash Man. Apparently recorded at New York City's Record Plant in 1969 from the lineup that would eventually form as Band of Gypsies, at least for that song Mannish Boy, which is a cover. And there's also an unreleased outtake from the Hendrix Experience, you know, the Trashmen side. 7-inch vinyl, 2,500 copies. And of course, there's the dankest of the RSD exclusive releases, the cast of the SpongeBob SquarePants musical, releasing a 7-inch vinyl where side A features the track Just a Simple Sponge from Panic at the Disco. Side B has both No Control, performed by David Bowie, and the SpongeBob SquarePants theme. that cringe was palpable.
I'm sure it was.
Anyway, moving on from that, Mac DeMarco releasing an album featuring demos, instrumentals, and unreleased B-sides from the recording of his 2017 release This Old Dog, which was a pretty decent garage rock album, all things considered. Also attacked DeMarco, Goga Gee. You know, 12-inch LP limited to 2,500 copies. Of course, creator, Behind the Mirror, 12-inch picture disc, 2,500 copies. Here's one that I'm going to gift to Mark over here. Lil Uzi Vert's Love is Rage.
Something's going to bring him up.
I'm going to find your address and send it to you. This is what you get for stealing all my beer. Of course, there will also be a Linkin Park, you know, release. One More Light Live, 2x LP, 4,000 copies, gold and black vinyl. Another live album, and this one's really interesting to me. Living Color, live at CBGB's December 19th, 1989. This was a show, like one of the last shows, if not the last show, that they played touring behind their debut album Vivid, in which they also played material from their upcoming sophomore record. This one is coming on a 2 LP release, 3,000 copies. Let's see. There's a Sarface, Man's Worst Enemy, a 7-inch vinyl, which looks like it's limited to, and this is a weird number here, 2,375 copies. It comes with a comic book illustrated by Gift Revolver, and the actual vinyl itself includes some material from his collabs with MF Doom.
Nice.
There's a 12-inch picture disc of Mastodon's latest album, Emperor of Sand, 4,000 copies. There's a release from Swans, Die Tür ist zu, that's The Door is Closed. Initially, it was only ever released in Germany on CD in 1996. This is a 2 LP release with 3 sides of music, the 4th side consisting of etched artwork from Swans frontman Michael Girard, and this is coming out 2,500 copies. A release from Quicksand, a Triptych Continuum, features 4 unreleased tracks from the band on a 12-inch vinyl, 1,300 copies. Another interesting live album, Rage Against the Machine, live at the Democratic National Convention 2000.
Ah, very nice. You know, 6 yes.
tracks of some of their most fire tracks. I believe Killing in the Name, Gorilla, Radio, and I think Testify is on there as too.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one that I'm sure all of us are going to be interested, from the Ambassadors themselves, RTJ, Stay Gold Collector's Edition. Ooh. It is apparently a special collector's edition metal box that allows you to, you know, hold all your RTJ vinyls, which in and of itself comes with a 12-inch clear vinyl with Marvel Comics branding, which features both Kill Your Masters, Stay Gold, as well as the instrumentals, alongside, you know, getting a sticker and a slip mat.
Mm-hmm. Now I can hold all my copies, which, yeah, actually, I think I also own Meow the Jewel, so maybe that will fit in there as well.
Yeah. So that's basically about everything I had on my list. So I guess, okay. Alex, if you had anything else that caught your attention, go ahead.
Yeah, I found some interesting stuff here. For those of you who like to rock out with Aquanet, on 2,300 copies of a picture disc, you have the 30th anniversary of Whitesnake's debut album.
Yay. You know,
Whitesnake. Hey, Carl Bertrand and Aluski will like it.
Yes, he will.
Yeah. A better B-side album that caught my attention, Lost Whispers by Evanescence, previously released in that Ultimate box set of theirs, which I never got. 2,500 copies. A lot of good B-sides on here. I might get this. check this out and get it. Let's see. We got a double LP release of Hawkwind, Dark Matter, The Alternative Liberty / UA Years 1970-74. If you don't know who Hawkwind is, they were Lemmy's band before Motorhead.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. That'll be available in 2,300 copies. Of course, we already talked about the Led Zeppelin 7-inch alternate mix single last time, so I don't have to go over that again. Hmm. I can't believe you didn't mention this one. Prince, 1999.
Well, that was one of the ones I knew you were going to bring up. One of two, in fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Its first vinyl release, apparently, since 1983. So, yeah. I want to get this one. 5,300 copies. Should be plentifully available. Let's see. Ooh. 2,800 copies on a picture disc. The original motion picture soundtrack of Enter the Dragon.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
Oh, shit. Where? I didn't see that. Goddamn.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. Where you already talked about the Rage Against the Machine live album. So here is something from The Doors entitled The Matrix Part 2. Another live show of theirs from March 1967 in San Francisco. Previously unreleased, 5,800 copies. Looks wicked. And of course, who doesn't love them some Cheech and Chong, because they're getting a 7-inch vinyl, 4,000 copies of Up in Smoke, and the actual record is shaped like a pot leaf.
Wait, didn't Slightly Stupid do that? Oh, no, wait, they made a record out of actual weed.
Yeah, this is just shaped like a pot leaf. Doesn't actually smell like it. Although, fuck, I don't know, it might. Also, the B-side of this will have an unreleased version of Cheech's Spanish version of the song.
Ew.
So, yeah. Now, where's my single of Earache My Eye, damn it? I'm sure all the hipsters will enjoy this. A 12-inch picture test, 3,000 copies of Gary Clark Jr. with Junkie XL covering Come Together from Justice League.
Oh, damn. I'm just going to let you know.
I don't know why. Yeah. There's more Bowie to be had, though. A triple LP release of Welcome to the Blackout, live in London, 78. That's about to say about that. And there's also going to be a 12-inch, 45 RPM single vinyl of Let's Dance, the full-length demo.
Hmm.
Now, you said there was something else I was supposed to find here. Wait, was that?
Are you doing a gag with me right now, or?
No, I'm serious. I don't know what you're trying to look through. I'm looking through everything. It's hard to find, you know, what it is you're trying to talk about.
420 of these motherfuckers.
I am so fucking disappointed in you right now.
Well, excuse me for not being able to read small text fastly.
Steven Wilson, How Big the Space. 12-inch vinyl, which features an unreleased B-side, How Big the Space, from his album To the Bone, and on the other side, featuring his collaboration with Ninet Taieb, People Who Eat Darkness, limited to 2,500 vinyl copies.
How did I miss that?
Go flog yourself in the corner, and think about what you did.
Okay, I'll be right back. I gotta take care of something.
Ow.
There, have I paid my penance enough for you, motherfucker?
Yes, you have, and that is going in the highlight reel.
Did you band-aid?
No, cast? I just need some orange slices.
And yeah, I think overall that's about everything. Let me just glance over the list real quickly if there's anything else I wanted to say, apart from... Well, I mean, I guess some people might be interested in the Hydro Grad acoustic sessions from Stone Sour, but, what else was there? Because I think I glazed across something else, but, no, it was the Gary Clark Jr., wasn't Parkhead Courts, definitely not Adam Sandler. I'm sure if I give the list another good look over, we'll find something else here. But anyway, now we're going on to the last part here. That is the RSD first releases. So, alright, sorry for the top. There's Soundgarden A-Sides, 2 LP release, 5,000 copies. Originally came out in 1997 and was, of course, a compilation of some of their biggest hit singles at the time. So, if you could expect songs like, you know, Burden in My Hand, Black Hole Sun, Fell on Black Days, Rusty Cage, all that good stuff is going to be on this thing. Then from that we have Ennio Morricone, Autopsy, original soundtrack. 900 copies, the soundtrack to the thriller film of the same name from director Armando Crispino. I mean, that's about it. Then the trio of jazz boys, John Coltrane, My Favorite Things, which is a replica of the original single release of My Favorite Things Part 1 and 2, a 7-inch disc of his 1961 hit single that's at 1,000 copies, Thelonious Monk, you know, a release called Monk, originally released in 1964, 2,500 copies, and then, of course, Miles Davis's Rubber Band EP. The EP that he originally recorded in 1985 when he switched labels around that period, but evidently it was shelved, and that's when he went on to record 1986's Tutu. So this EP is being you know, released on 12-inch vinyl, 2,300 copies. Of course, Killing Joke, Absolute Descent.
Yes, very nice.
Their 2010 album, which was at that time the first album of material recorded with the original lineup in 28 years by that point. Two LP Color Wax, and I think I forgot to jot down the number of copies for this one, but... Then, of course, here's another big one. J. Dilla, Rough Draft Dilla's Mixes. This one looks like it's at 4,750 copies. Two LP vinyl reissue of, you know, the classic EP from 2003, except this one, you know, it's Dilla's own mixes.
Interesting.
And the last one that I took a note of here was, hey, look at that, it's coming full circle. John Williams, Star Wars The Last Jedi. This is, it's a release that features only two songs on it. Rebellion is Reborn and the theme from Canto Bight, a.k.a. Oh my god, this is the worst, most poorly scene that ever happened in the history of Star Wars.
And just that's cute.
And just to add insult to injury, it's coming on a 10-inch picture disc that is shaped like a porg.
Oh boy.
Ah, those porgs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, anything else you wanted to bring up, or was that basically everything?
I found a couple of interesting things. And let me just say, no, Charlie Puth, you don't get to have Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On 45th Anniversary release. Limited to 1,000 copies, pressed on 180-gram red vinyl. It is a proper re-release of his iconic Let's Get It On album. Like I said, Charlie Puth, you don't get to have a copy. Yeah. Here's something I found interesting. Nas is going to be releasing Illmatic live from the Kennedy Center. 5,000 copies on a double LP release. And it's a performance of said album with the National Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I've heard of that.
That sounds like an interesting concept in itself. I'd like to listen to this at least. That's pretty interesting. And then there's this, Mike Posner and the legendary Mike Posner Band with a double album called "I Was Born in Detroit" on a very
what the
cold day.
What the fuck?
There's that many varies.
Yeah. This is spoken word poetry.
Why?
With such tracks as "Dear Mom," "I Met Kanye," "Alive," and of course "Gratitude." Which, why? I think he should be grateful that somebody remixed one of his tracks and made him relevant again.
Yeah. The show Avicii, he was cool.
Yeah. But, you know, fuck it. It was something to do. Anyway, how about a 12-inch vinyl single of Dr. Dre's Dre Day?
I'll take that.
Okay. Yeah, 2,500 copies on a clear 12-inch vinyl with mixes and B-sides and a whole bunch of goodies. And there was something kind of spooky I was alluding to last time. And the spookiness is in the form of two soundtracks for the revival of Twin Peaks.
Oh shit, I skipped over those. Holy fuck.
Yeah, Twin Peaks, music from the limited event series, and Twin Peaks limited event series soundtrack. Both of which are double album picture discs, limited to 5,300 copies. And I don't know if these are going to be... I'm assuming these are going to be different albums entirely. And I'm looking here. The one that's just music from limited event series says, including Roundhouse Band performances and more, and limited event series soundtrack, I guess, is the actual score composed by Mr. Angelo Badalamenti.
Yeah, looking at it now, okay, so the one that just says limited series soundtrack is the actual score, and then the one that says, what did you say the other one said?
The other one said music from limited event series. So I guess it's an actual, like, original soundtrack or whatever.
Oh, no. See, the thing with the final season of Twin Peaks is that nearly every episode includes or ends with a segment taking place in a music club, a little bar called The Roadhouse. Not to be confused with Patrick Swayze or Peter Griffin.
Okay.
And yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah, and for these scenes, they always got in, like, actual music artists, you know, like, several of whom were either, you know, stuff that David Lynch was a big fan of or who admitted to taking great influence from Twin Peaks. I'm sure none of you will be surprised to learn that of these many performers featured none other than Nine Inch Nails, Pearl Jam, and Chromatics.
Yep.
Yeah. And the good thing about these being RSD first releases is that later in the year, these will get an actual normal release. So if you can't get it on Record Store Day, fear not, there will be a regular release somewhere down the line, which will come in handy for all the teenage girls who are going to get their Crosley Cruisers and pick up three Taylor Swift albums.
Booey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun for them. So yeah, I found some stuff that I'm gonna keep an eye out for. But one more thing I want to bring up in the RSD first that I'm amazed the Miami in me skipped over. Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. It Takes Two 30th Anniversary Edition. Limited to 2,000 copies. It is the duo's, you know, debut album, which of course featured the self-titled mega smash of the Miami bass genre that I have heard so many fucking times.
I thought we were done with the whole Jock Jam stuff when Action 52 sampled that track.
Well, you're wrong. But yeah, there's that. Oh shit, I also forgot about this Descendants Who We Are release. Even though I only got into them, like, a couple years ago. Descendants, you know, really cool, one of the essential pillars of punk rock music. So I might pick up that vinyl release, and, I mean, it's basically about everything, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we're interested in, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's gonna be a fun release day, and now, with all the news out of the way, now we have to discuss the last bit of business, which is the new album releases for March 16th, 2018. Starting at the top, musician Phil Elverum, a.k.a. Mount Eerie, releases the follow-up to his emotionally devastating 2017 release, A Crow Looked at Me, with his new album Now Only. New album from the Decemberists, I'll Be Your Girl. Yola Tango dropping a new release, There's a Riot Going On. A new release from Bishop Neru, Elevators Act 1 and 2. From the D-O-double-G himself, he's got a new project, Bible of Love.
So it's aim release. Okay. So,
yep.
So no name.
From rapper Bun B, we got a new project, Return of the Trill.
Ooh.
Rapper Currency dropping a new project, Back at Bernie's. Of course, the much-anticipated new album from Technical Prog Metalers Rivers of Nile, Where Owls Know My Name.
Nice.
And last, and probably least in some respects, the new self-titled album from Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
Whatever. So now is the part where we clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
On the internet, I am known as Aura of Azure. Literally, anywhere you see that name, 99% of the time, it'll be me. 1% of the time, though, it'll probably be some asshole, you know, acting as a bot. Not from Russia, though. I'm too good for that. Probably just from, like, I don't know, El Salvador or somewhere.
Quite. Mark, what about you?
Of course, on Twitter, everywhere, MacTheHyper Media, and also on my site, MacTheHyper1@MacTheHyper1.wordpress.com. Yes.
Nice. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Curious Cat, what have you, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, Robert@SurrealResolution.com, where, you know, you got inquiries and stuff, things you want to inbox me, tips, tricks, and memes, do all that stuff. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend over on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're always notified when stuff gets posted there. Be sure to check out the main site as well, you know, www.surrealresolution.com. Follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook, you know the whole shebang. decibelboost.surrealresolution.com if you ever want to listen to the archives of our past episodes, and be sure to check out some of our written content. We're slowly getting through the backlog of stuff we need to, you know, get published out there. I finally published my review of Ilsa's Corpse Fortress, which is a particularly filthy metal release, and I'm hoping I can get a review of BT Bam's Autobottle 1 sometime this week. I should have the free time to do so.
Pardon our dust, we're in the middle of a transition phase.
And also, since, you know, since I'm actually writing for the site now, expect a review of Little Yachty's.
That is your initiation. Just, you know, it's like a Band-Aid. One motion. Right off!
Damn right. So yeah, read all that stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord if you ever want to argue with us about what the best pizza toppings are. And of course, shout out to producer Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that about does it for this week's episode of the podcast. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. And until next time, I'm fucking thirsty as hell.
Marvel gets TDE and y'all get Little Yachty and Halsey.